Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Peraton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Peraton.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun. This is Tina and Georgette with Flourish Truly. Hey, my friend, happy Flourish Truly Tuesday. How are you doing today?
Super, super. Great day to be alive.
Yes, what an exciting week. It's only Tuesday. We've had huge news out of New Orleans. On top of the draft, the really great draft this weekend, we had news that broke, I guess it was official yesterday. Iran Matthew, the Honey Badger, has been signed to a 3-year deal with the Saints, and he's here in town today doing his physical and actually signing his contract today. Yes, Honey Badger is home.
It is so awesome. It is beyond awesome. And you know, we have been talking about it for weeks, and I have tweeted the Saints endlessly, bring him home. Now to have it come to fruition, it is just phenomenal.
Yes, I feel like we spoke it into existence.
100%.
I really do, because we've been saying it. And of course, I mean, we can't take all the credit. Saints fans were tweeting Matthew. Cam Jordan, CD Deuce, crazy how he was recruiting online, and he really wanted Matthew here. Saints fans have been wanting him to be a part of the team.
Agreed.
Okay, hey, 3-year deal, $33 million, 18 guaranteed. I feel like this is where he's going to finish his career. He's going to finish it at home, which is something he even talked about when he interviewed with the Saints last month, that there's no more incredible feeling about being with your family and getting to play in front of the home crowd. So super excited for him to return home. I know his jerseys, once they give him a number, is going to be the immediate top seller merchandise. I can't wait to see them on the sidelines, getting the crowd. Him and CD, man, they are just, they are going to be like boom and zoom too. Oh, you know how Kamara and Mark Ingram are on the sidelines. I can see CJ and Tyrann on the sidelines, just really on the defense, getting the crowd up. And that's, we need that. I mean, our defense is already fire, and they just keep getting better, especially with these draft picks.
And you know, you think about Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis. These guys are like staples in the locker room. And now we've got this kid, and CJ's coming up through the years with us. And I feel like he's going to be another Cam Jordan. Stay with us until he's done.
Yes. I don't want to even think about him leaving, because I remember when the trade rumors were coming up with the Deshaun Watson thing, and he was tweeting. We never really know what's going through their head. But I mean, people that have like inside information were saying that, you know, the rumors with CD, he was really bothered by those rumors of him being traded. Mm-hmm. And he obviously wants to stay here and be here. Of course, we want him to retire as Saint, because he's just, like I said before, he's so NOLA. I mean, he just fits like a puzzle piece here. Yes. So yeah, I feel like you. I feel like, because Cam Jordan, we don't know what's going to happen next season. DeMario, I love him. We want these guys to stay with us forever. But realistically, the NFL is a business, and they don't. So we saw it happen with Mark Ingram. I mean, he was here, then he left, went to Baltimore, and he's back. But I mean, how much longer is he going to be here? I mean, he only had a 2-year deal. This could be his last season with the Saints. I really hope, knock on wood, that that's not the case. But if the Saints not re-sign him and he still feels like he wants to play, and I know in the interview I did with him a couple months ago, he said that. He's like, I have a few years left in me. So he'll wind up signing with someone else if the Saints don't re-sign him. And then, you know, we lose him. But we've seen that happen with players all the time. There's been talk of Jimmy Graham. That's another name. Jimmy burnt some bridges when he left here. Bridges that I don't know if like they're held together with duct tape. I don't really know if we can mend those bridges, but we'll see.
Hard no for
Jimmy. Yeah, I feel like that too. I feel like that ship sailed. With the issue with tight end position, we need to get somebody that actually can move and block and doesn't have stone hands. And just Jimmy being older, he might be a band-aid. I don't feel like ever since he had that injury years ago, I don't feel like he's been the player that he was prior to. You know, you look at the tight end position and you're like, well, you know, look what this guy can do. And we don't have that here, because we didn't address it in the draft. And I was really surprised. Mm-hmm. We didn't address tight end. We didn't address running back, especially because we don't know what's going to happen with Kamara and his suspension, even though his court case was pushed to August, which I hope it gets pushed to like next May and then it keeps him through the season. But like I said, I mean, we did get really, I think, 5 solid picks. Not everybody agrees with them. You know, one of them in particular, people were scratching heads, but think about this. Dennis Allen is a defensive-minded coach. He gave us our two new toys on offense that we really needed.
Sure did.
So let Dennis have his picks. He wants to shore up some of those issues and concerns that he had in depth on defense and especially special teams, because our special teams was not good last year.
No, they weren't. I am just beside myself that we got A, a wide receiver, B, that we got aggressive and traded up to get him, because you know he was going to be gone before we got to 16. Oh, don't argue with me, people. We all know he was going. And then to get a lineman, an offensive lineman, like this kid, Trevor Penning, has everyone watched his film? Because what I'll tell you is we're going to have some penalties, I think, until he understands you can't just
pick dudes up and toss.
Yeah, he's picking dudes up and toss them on the ground. Like there's a reason he's called the pancaking. So like he pancakes, like it literally lifts dudes up and throws them to the ground. You can get away with that in college bowl, but you cannot in the NFL. So once he gets through that, I mean, he's just got like that beast.
Yeah. So, somebody told me, they're like, he is a bruiser. They're like, y'all, if he can just, I mean, that's all going to come to coaching. And of course, I mean, all players come out of college. Some of them are pro ready. They don't, you know, they don't have the fundamentals, or they, you know, wide receivers, we've seen it happen. You know, they're great route runners and they're good blockers, but they can't catch it. So, I mean, like with him, especially on Olan, he's filling in a spot with Teron Armstead, who was incredible at that position. But I think with coaching, he's raw, but he's explosive. He's a mauler. Yeah. He's a, I mean, like he's physical. He's a physical guy. And that's somewhere that you want on our O-line to protect Jameis. Cause what happened last year with Jameis?
Yeah. Devin White got around the guy filling in. I don't even know the guy's name. Like, isn't that terrible? Filling in for Teron that day. And boom, here we stay.
Yeah. And got hurt. Yes. So yes, we have Michael Thomas coming back this season. We now have Chris Olave, who is an explosive wide receiver. If you haven't seen any film on this kid, I don't know where you've been for the last 3 days, because that's the Twitter feed has been. But I mean, this guy has solid hands, great vision down the field. He's what we needed opposite of Michael Thomas.
Yep.
So we need help. Jameis has an arm. He's got players now to throw to, but we need guys to protect him. We need our O-line shored up. And I am still unhappy that Pete is not like on a Amtrak out of town, but I mean, with that contract, there's nothing we can do. So he's stuck here for a while, and literally he's like pond water. He just doesn't do anything anyway. He's just stagnant and stale. Shore up the O-line. I'm excited. This defense is only going to get better with the additions of the free agencies and having Tyron here. And of course, who else we got in the draft, but our offense was a point of concern because we had Drew Brees for so many years and we're used to seeing that explosiveness. And when you take Can't Guard Mike out of it, and Kamar was even hurt a few games last year, and then Jameis, of course, I mean, we went through all four of our quarterbacks at one time between COVID and injuries. So yeah, we needed help on O-line. And then people were like, what are you so against with a quarterback? I'm not against taking a quarterback. I didn't feel that this draft class was worth giving up our first round pick when there was other need, when Jameis to me had more potential. And I say that only based on what I saw with 7 games last year. But if you look at his numbers last year with the 7 games with the Saints, with the lack of weapons, that we had last year, Jameis still performed well enough for me to feel he was better than any of those other quarterbacks that were in this draft.
Jameis made Marquez Callaway look good.
Yeah.
The end.
We just re-signed Deontay Hardy. If the rumors are, and I say rumors, are true about Jarvis Landry, we pick up Jarvis Landry with Chris Olave, with Can't Guard Mike, with Mark Ingram, with Deontay Hardy. If Callaway can be a little bit more consistent, Traquan Smith will be back. I think maybe we'll see this wide receiver core maybe a little bit better than I'm talking about like the twos and threes, a little bit better than last year, because they'll have more time with consistency of a quarterback, because you're working with Jameis and then Jameis isn't here. You got Taysom, then you've got Trevor, then, poor Ian Book. We always say poor Ian Book. I feel like that's his new first name, poor Ian Book. But yeah, you have a full season with a healthy Jameis. And then we've got Taysom Hill moving back over to that tight end Swiss Army knife role.
Yeah. Somebody was actually chirping us being Saints fans on the weekend, saying that we're at best third best in the NFC South, which is laughable. And that the fact that we're hinging our hopes on Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton. Well, bro, tell me you don't know football, but tell me you don't know football when you say Andy Dalton played for the Bengals. So let's settle down. He didn't have anything around him. He's also, right, he didn't have anything to support him. The kid can throw a ball. And if we need a backup for Jameis on some, for some outrageous reason, at least we know he is seasoned as a starter, a legitimate starter.
So, the Bengals didn't have weapons until like last year. I mean, even Joe Burrow is still running for his life this season. Now they had a really good draft, but I mean, yeah, Joey was still running and still won, you know, almost won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, look, you need to give your players help on offensive line, and you've got to have solid wide receivers that can catch a ball and players that can block to get these guys open to get down the field. So I, as far as the offense, I'm not going to say we're going to be like putting up Drew Brees type numbers, because Drew was once in a lifetime type player here for the Saints. Yeah, I do believe, but I mean, Jameis is a good quarterback. He had vision issues. Don't forget that. So, and I don't mean vision in the sense of being able to see the field and the defenders. I'm talking like actual vision issues, which he corrected. But I mean, last season, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and, you know, over 1,100 yards and a 102 quarterback rating. In seven games. I look, I mean, hey, look, if he would have stayed on that track through 14 games, you do the math. I know. So yeah, I'm advocating to keep Jameis here because I didn't feel like anybody else could have filled his shoes well enough. That was proven when we know what Jameis could have done last year with no weapon.
Agreed. And so, I've said I'm excited. Yeah, exactly. I've said it once. I've said it 100 times. I think Sean Payton didn't trust him. I think Sean Payton held him back. I think DA has a different vision along with Pete Carmichael. And I think that we will see him have the opportunity to be let loose on the field and to trust his judgment.
Let Jameis air it out.
Yeah. Let him air it out. Let him trust somebody, trust his judgment to know when to throw that ball. So
I love Sean Payton. I will always be grateful for what he did, but I felt like he held Jameis back for a couple of games last year. We kept hearing, I'm happy with the wide receiving core. I'm happy with who we have. And look what happens in this first round pick. Look, you know, we Saints fans, please get us a wide receiver, get us somebody. And there it is. And then yet they still bring in Jarvis Landry last month. There's still talk about it right now. So, I mean, what does that tell you? This is Dennis Allen's team. This is, and I tweeted it like right after the first round. I said, this is Jameis Winston's team. People want to still question, are we going to get a quarterback? No, if they were going to do it, they would have took it in within the first two or three picks, and they didn't. This is Jameis's team. This is Dennis's team. Step back, let them do what they're doing, and get excited because we've got an explosive offense again.
Oh my God. And so funny because Tom Brady unretired himself for this. So
I know, right? Epic. And then it's like, okay, Dennis got his, you know, the second round, fifth and sixth round picks on the defense side. We've got a DB who can play both safety and corner. You know, we got a linebacker who's super explosive, really underrated guy. And then we got Jordan Jackson, who's a tackle from Air Force. And this guy is highly intelligent. I don't know if y'all watched his post-draft interviews, but he is super smart. And so, I mean, like, yeah, we were scratching our heads kind of on the second round pick, but look, we don't get paid to scout these players. We get paid to talk about them and write about them, but it's just like, hey, look, trust the process. I feel like this, the Saints organization and Dennis Allen coaching has already proven to us that, that things are going to be different now. So I will say, okay, well, let's just see what happens. I'm excited for this season. I'm excited to see all these new weapons. And man, all I'm saying is if we get Jarvis Landry, watch out.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So and yeah, anyone that gave us a C+ rating, NFL analysts, for the draft, I feel like you didn't pay attention to what this team really needed.
That's crazy. I'd say a B minus, and I only give them the B minus because, like I said, you know, could the questionable third pick, but I mean, this guy's versatile and versatility, especially special teams, because like I said, we really were hurting with punt return coverage last year. So I don't question that as much. I give him the B minus, but again, like, who am I supposed to know, you know? But yeah, speaking of questionable things, our breakers this weekend. Oh, I mean, God.
That game was
okay. So great. Kyle, he was hurt. He should have not been playing.
No, he shouldn't.
You really could tell towards the end of that game that he was really hurting with that groin injury. Guy. Lost.
I was just going to say he couldn't move. Yeah, the kid couldn't
move. Yeah, he couldn't move. Through the interception at the end. So we're 2-1 now. But Johnny Dixon had a great game, and he was voted Offensive Player of the Week. So this is the second time we've had Breakers players win Player of the Week. So it's one game. We're still in second place in our division. I want him to get healthy. I feel like I haven't seen any of the injuries injury report today, but if they even practice today, but I feel like maybe he may be a little worse for wear after taking that second hit. Cause you really could tell he could barely move. He was like a statue in the pocket. Poor guy, poor Kyle.
That was brutal to watch. I mean, the game was great. The game was exciting, you know, a couple turnovers, but oof, that was hard to watch near the end. You could tell he was super stiff and it was really tough for him to move about.
So yeah, hopefully, you know, he gets well and gets back. Cause I mean, a lot of people are enjoying the USFL game of the week, I guess you want to call it, or, you know, I know in the NFL, that's what they call it, but everybody could watch the games Saturday night. So it was on national network. It's fun because a lot of people who aren't really into football are starting to watch it too, because right now we're at that point where a lot of the shows, a lot of the TV shows, this is what my friend told me, she's not as big into sports as I am, but she said a lot of her shows are starting to go off the air for their summer break. So this gives her something to watch. There's, you know, she's like, none really at the movies. So, I mean, Saturday night, I mean, you got to eat and, you know, come home, or, you know, you're cooking, especially because it's barbecue season and crawfish season, people over at the house, and you can watch the game because basketball is over now. We know that. For the Pelicans, at least.
Yeah. It was interesting listening to Kurt Menefee doing the announcing. I felt like saying, stick to your Sunday show, Kurt. Like, I'm not buying what you're selling. Somebody else.
Yeah. It was a little weird. And then Chris Collinsworth's son, who just really creeps me out because he sounds just like his dad. And I cannot stand his dad, although I do like him. I cannot stand his dad at all and cannot wait for the day that he retires and Drew Brees can take over. And that's been the rumor. But
I'm so glad somebody else said it, because the cringe factor is extreme. Moving on.
Collins worthless.
That's not what wrong. I call it.
Don't care for him at all. But yeah, we have the second weekend of Jazz Fest, start on Thursday, last weekend. If you were online, this is what you saw in New Orleans. You saw Jazz Fest and Garth Brooks. 102,000 people at Tiger Stadium. I didn't go, but I feel like I did, because I've seen enough videos and pictures and I felt like I was there. 102,000 record crowd there, sold out. Had everybody I know that went had a great time. Then of course we hit Jazz Fest. So the second weekend starts on Thursday this weekend. We got Amanda Shaw the first day, who was on our show last year, you know, local favorite. We love her. Kermit Ruffins. If you saw the aerial shots, I'll have to share those online, because that's the cool shots when you see so many people and like you see them around the stage. And of course the food, I mean, people go just literally for the crawfish Monica, which is absolutely delicious. But yeah, Thursday starts that lineup. And then on Friday, we've got Chris Isaac. We've got Big Frida, who I love. Big Frida, Bounce Music. If y'all don't know what that is, Google Big Frida. This is, you know, this is the closeout weekend. This is the big weekend. A lot of people, if they come in town, this is the weekend they come in for, because this, you know, the bigger names. We got Rebirth, a lot of local ones. So yeah, they'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then that'll be it for this year. And then of course we got all the other festivals that are lined up after it. But I was like, Saturday night in New Orleans, I mean, between Jazz Fest and Garth, I mean, it was kicking here.
The Garth Brooks, he's a big deal. I wasn't a fan. My sister was. Funny story. I lived in Nevada, Reno, Nevada, back in the day, back in the late 90s. And that's when he was first becoming like outrageously popular. And I knew a girl, I worked with a girl for a long time, that used to go and see him when he would play in the little honky tonks. And she had all these photographs with him and one of his belt buckles before he became famous. And I just always remember thinking, that is so cool. And then he blew up like outrageous. The guy's got mad skills, no matter what
he does. He's one performer of the year talented. For a CMA Awards numerous times. I had somebody that went to the concert and told me this. They're like, yeah, you know, he may be dated in the sense where he hasn't had all his big hits recently, but they said he still outperforms some of the newer acts that are out now that are on tour. And he said, you know, he just doesn't stop the entire time. And he's got the crowd involved in it. I mean, think about it. Sell out the Superdome, the 70 something thousand people for multiple concerts, and then Tiger Stadium, 102,000. That tells you something about the guy. So yeah, it was exciting. This Saturday, speaking of exciting, before we wrap, I've got to get this in, because y'all know that how much I talk about this online. I've talked about it in old shows. The Kentucky Derby is this weekend. Yes. I love horse racing. Yes. My dad used to take me, used to work security when he retired, and take me to the fairgrounds here, and I got to meet the jockey. So kind of grew up loved watching horse racing. I only really watched like the three big races, like religiously, mm-hmm. you know, for the Triple Crown. So this weekend's the first race for the Triple Crown. It's at Churchill Downs, Kentucky Derby. Epicenter is the horse that I'm virtually putting my money on. It's weird seeing the lineup horses this year and not seeing Bob Baffert as a trainer this year. And it's like, I have to remember, I'm like, oh, he's done for the whole year. He can't, yep. you know, racing suspended him. So yeah, this weekend's the Kentucky Derby. So that's just another thing to do. So, hey, you know, if you're not doing anything Saturday afternoon, go throw some steaks on the grill or some burgers and, you know, put your TV on and watch the Kentucky Derby, because I will be.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a fun week in New Orleans. I'm super excited. Everybody I've talked to that's in service industry has said that the restaurants have just been packed. Food has been great. Really no complaints. Love hearing that. This is a happening time to be here. We've got Essence Festival. We've got Voodoo back this year in the fall. So a lot going mm-hmm. on in New Orleans. So make sure you stay tuned to Florist Julie. We'll always keep you updated. And of course, if you have any questions, comments, or you just want to know where to go get a good po' boy, hit us up online. I'm Tina at The NOLA Girl on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can hit us up at Florist Julie Pod on Twitter, Florist Julie Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And Georgia, you can tell everybody where they can come and ask you for some advice, or if they just want to talk about how you love Dennis Allen and he needs a Twitter account.
Yes, you can find me on the Twitter at Georgie68. That's Georgie with two E's. Prisalave, you want to start following me? I've got mad insights. You'll love it.
Yes, indeed. And welcome to New Orleans, Honey Badger. And we will see you next week.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.